Come be a part of the Feelings Club. Share your feelings too.
I'm not noticing a weird taste in my mouth.
Oh. I thought you were trying to come up with what number we were on.
You're right. It is episode 16. But I just put some chapstick on.
And you don't feel anything? I mean, taste anything?
I don't think so.
I get like a bitter taste in my mouth.
Like it's obvious?
Like a chemically bitter taste. Like, yeah, like you just put like laundry detergent or something in your mouth when I put on sunscreen or chapstick or lipstick or mascara or eyeshadow. I don't think I'm crazy. I think I just have a super sensitive system.
Maybe super sensitive, or maybe you're just like so in tune, like so.
To my chapstick.
To your body.
I mean, maybe.
Maybe.
I mean, I do feel things very
And it doesn't
acutely.
Matter what kind of chapstick. It's any chapstick.
It doesn't matter what kind of chapstick, what kind of lipstick, what kind of sunscreen.
Because this was Blistex Medicated Lip Balm SPF 15.
I can like, my tongue is like tasting it because of you.
Really?
Yeah.
Like you can I'm smell it like from
a,
over there? And
I'm having like a response in my, no. I can just remember the sensation. Yeah. And so I'm having it. So weird.
It's so like
making
weird.
My mouth
so
water. Weird.
Anyway. So let's do a mailbag episode.
I would love that.
We need to.
I feel super out of touch with the world.
Yeah, let's see how everyone's doing. First of all, I just wanted – okay, we have some responses from back from the money episode.
Oh, good.
And I wanted to revisit that real quick. So yeah. We've got a couple emails in here. Let's see here. Okay, we had an anonymous email from the money episode. So here's a response to that from the same person.
Okay.
She's responding to our response.
Got it.
In response to your comments, I feel like I'm valued at work and I'm paid accordingly. I think Patty was more on it saying – I was more on it.
Dab.
I think Patty was more on it saying maybe I want to live in a hut on the beach. LOL. I really think it all stems from my family's attitude towards people with money and bad relationships we have with extended family that are rich. Mm. Rich is in quotation marks because I don't know. I guess it's all relative. Mm-hmm. These extended family members have made comments in the past like, oh, they only want to come to our event to see our big house. Mm-hmm. So I think I associate that attitude with people who have money. And there's also like this pride thing. Like I'm happy with my modest home and car. And somehow I think that makes me better. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. I can relate.
To which part?
Well, I too have family that's quote unquote rich. Mm-hmm. I think there has been a point in my life where I thought that maybe not that I was better, just that I have gained something by learning how to work really hard for what I have. Mm-hmm. That's not to say that, I mean, lucky. I mean, like, great. I mean, I'd love to be just rich. That would be great.
Yeah. Sounds nice.
That would be nice.
Sounds nice.
But anyway.
I mean, that's awesome. I wanted to say, like, I do say this to my female clients all the time. Hold on. I have to text Ryan because the kids are so damn loud. That's the sound of me texting my husband, yeah. Everybody.
Yeah. Text him.
That it's okay to want to make money and yeah. It's okay to want to be valued and it's okay to be paid above minimum wage.
Yeah.
And I don't think that there's like, I have so many young women who work for like $7 an hour jobs and then money is such a big stressor. And I'm like, well, no shit. Money's a big stressor. Mm-hmm. You live in an expensive city and you make hardly any money, you know, but I think that there's like some shame in wanting to get paid well or be financially stable or be well off. Like, and I don't see that at all. I think you're totally allowed to want to be paid your worth, be comfortable, not have money be one of your big stressors.
Yeah. So I just recently got offered a different paid mm-hmm. position. Mm-hmm. And I said no when I could have said yes. But I just kind of like looked deep inside myself and asked myself, what does Patty want?
Wow.
Which is a big, it's a really hard question.
Well, and you came up with an answer.
Well, and I was just kind of like, what's the feeling? Like, what do I feel when I feel, what is the feeling when I think about like accepting that thing?
Right.
And it was just kind of intuitively, instinctively, I don't want to do that. I don't want to, but I also recognized that I was able to say no to that opportunity because I wasn't desperate. And I've been in a desperate place before where I said yes to things that I didn't really want to only because I kind of had to.
Right. Like sex.
No, not like sex. Wrong. Wrong.
I know. You never did that. Sex for money thing.
No,
never.
Although I bet they bank.
Oh my God. Yes.
It's hard not to think about it. Like being a cam girl or something.
There was a girl I went to college with who worked at the like strip club, the VIP room in the strip club, and she bought herself a new Jaguar in cash our senior year in college.
Oh my God.
And I was like, wow.
So cool. So cool.
So cool. Well, I'm glad you passed on that, and I'm glad that you're like that. That was such a clear answer for you.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah, it was clear. There is like a tiny voice in the back of my head, though, that's like, what are you going to do, Patty? What are you going to do now?
That voice is a dick.
What are you going to do for money?
It's like super taunting.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
We'll have a baby. We'll have a baby.
So yeah. Yeah, we'll get into that with another episode. Okay, let's see. There's another response here. I'm going to keep this one anonymous because their original submission was also anonymous. But they wanted to say thank you for sharing their story at the top of the We've Got Mail episode. I shared my story with you 1 week after sharing it with my therapist for the first time. It was the first time I had said it out loud, and when you posted your question about secrets a week later, mine was eating me up. I wrote it out, hit send, and then immediately forgot all about it until I was catching up on episodes. It caught me off guard when I caught a snippet that sounded too familiar. Hearing it read out loud was painful, but amazingly eye-opening and helped me to bring it up at my next session. We mostly stuck to things surrounding it, but it was the first time I was able to talk about it without checking out or freezing up. I could feel I was getting close, but I was able to stay present, which showed me how far I've truly come in the last 2 years working with my beautiful therapist. I found the wind in the wave just prior to starting with my therapist, and Patty's lyrics and amazing voice coupled with Dwight's beautiful arrangements have been incredibly healing to my soul and has been like a soundtrack to my growth. Patty, your willingness to share your own personal journey with mental health, confidence, and therapy has given me the courage to start to be okay with who I am. Thank you, Patty, Sally, and I know it's not the right podcast, but Dwight as well for helping me along these last 2 years. Well, Dwight will hear it because he's going to edit this whole thing.
You're welcome, Dwight.
So thank you,
Dwight. What a nice email. That makes me really awesome. Happy.
That's got to be weird, like forgetting that you wrote something and then just listening to a podcast and being like, oh, that is totally my story.
Oh my God.
But also hearing your own story told back to you, like they say, like was an eye-opening thing. I'm sure it is.
Yeah. I think it's great. I'm so glad of the process and the progress that's happening. And I think it can feel great, you know, like we talk about when you use your words and validate what you're feeling by like expressing what you're going through, it helps you switch over into the logic side. So like the more you do that, right, the more able you are to process between feelings and logic and feelings and logic and feelings and logic, which makes sense why it would be easier and easier the more you process it to be able to get through more ground.
Yeah. Well, and you know how like it's so much easier to give advice and like to someone else.
Yeah.
even if they're going through like the exact same thing as you are, it's like, oh, this is clear what you should do, right, or what you shouldn't, or what you should avoid or whatever. But then when it's happening to you, it's hard to see. It's hard to take the advice.
Yes. And have compassion for yourself. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm sure just like listening to your own story without knowing at least initially that it was yours.
Right.
Kind of gives you a little bit more of an objective view of it, which is cool.
Can I share something?
Yes, please.
I had this amazing thing happen in therapy this week, and I've been doing EMDR sessions virtually, which is it's really simple and lovely and beautiful. They just like cross their hands over their chest and do butterfly taps.
Like your clients are doing?
My clients are tapping their own chests while I guide them through it. So like I'm facilitating it and monitoring it and keeping them safe and keeping really close tabs on their emotions and their experience. And I had a client reliving a really painful memory, and I asked him if something about it was, if he could picture himself like giving compassion to that younger version of himself, right? And I was like, maybe he could even like in your memory, like insert your adult self to like come in and be with him, right? Because that's a really useful tool, because adult versions of ourselves, even if they've gone through the shit, usually are very comforting to younger versions of ourselves, like in our memory, right? Like our 13-year-old self would just love for adult us to show up and be like, come on, bitch, you're coming with me. We're going to go have a girls' weekend, right? And just like,
well, it's just so much easier to show compassion toward a child than it is an adult.
So then I asked him if that felt okay for that, like to go through that. He was like, it feels incredibly comforting, but it also doesn't feel true. And I was like, what part isn't true? He was like, well, we don't know if he survives. And I was like, you mean the younger you? He was like, yeah, I don't want to lie to him. Mm. And I was like, but he survived. And he was like, oh my God, I had forgotten about that. And it was like this huge, like.
Because they're me and I'm still here. Because they're me
and I'm sitting here and I'm that older version of myself that is walking towards me in my memory. And I am so happy to see, because I love that guy so much and he's going to help me so much. And then I was like, but you did survive. And he was like, oh my God, Sally. Oh my God, I survived that. And then it was just like this domino effect of like how many different things he had survived between then and now.
Yeah.
That he hadn't realized he had survived, because he was still so deep in the trauma of just trying to tread water.
Mm.
And that happens all the time. But it's such like a breath of fresh air. And it makes me think about like hearing your own story, like, oh God, that's a terrible story. Oh my God, that's me.
Yeah.
Right. And how a compassion shift or a perspective shift is just so like fantastic for your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I wanted to share that because it made me so happy. And that's just cool. Like grinned the rest of the session. I was like, yeah, okay. He was like, I survived. I was like, yeah.
I also just love that statement. I survived.
Totally.
You know, I think it's really powerful too when you're learning to forgive yourself for, you know, mistakes you've made in the past. It was like, well, maybe you were just trying to survive.
Seriously.
Too. So.
And you did.
And you did.
Because you're here.
Yeah.
Voila.
Love it.
Thanks.
What a great story. How's everyone doing? How are you doing, by the way? How are you doing?
I'm okay. I got a rowing machine this week.
Last week.
I know. It's amazing and I love it. I think I went a little too hard because like my bones started hurting yesterday, not just like the muscles and the fascia and the tendons, but like the bones. It's been a while since I like hard ass.
Like pushed.
Yes, like trained.
Mm-hmm.
So I took a day off. And I'm feeling better.
That's good.
Yeah. But I'm really, my husband doesn't know what to do with me. He's like, you walk in the room and there's so much joy. Like, yeah, that's what exercise does.
Totally.
So much joy.
Yeah, it's a big part of my mental health. And I haven't really been exercising that much. I mean, I used to go to the gym and do classes, which I loved. I love it when someone else is telling me what to do and counting the reps. Haven't done that in a long, long time. So I don't know, like, pretty much the only exercising I'm doing right now is just walking.
Don't you guys do fitness stuff at home sometimes?
I mean, I haven't done them in a long time. Kevin's been working out in the garage. I haven't done that in a while. I should probably start doing a little bit. I would really like to start doing yoga again. I think, especially because I'm pregnant, I think that would be really great. But I don't know. Right now, I've just been walking. And if I don't get it in the morning, it's not happening.
No, it's so hot. It's so damn hot. Yeah. It'll be cool again soon.
It'll be cool.
By the time you're 9 months pregnant, so cool. It'll be cool.
I'm doing really well with it too. Thanks for asking. I have my better days are days when I have things to do.
Yeah.
Like when Kevin's working and I'm at home and I don't, it's not that there isn't anything to do, but you know, like I'm a very task oriented person. Mm-hmm. I like checking things off the mm-hmm. list. So I am better when I have things to do.
Yeah. You like structure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I also like to push against the structure, but I can't do that unless it's there.
Well, you can just like, you can make it for yourself. Like you can make like a list, like wake up at 7 and then you can be like, fuck you, Patty.
Yeah,
I'm not getting
rebel
up at
against
7.
my own agenda.
Make a list. Check. I made a list.
Perhaps I should. Okay. Julie says, I'm having a rough time with everything leading up to my kids going back to school. Watching a video about how our school district is going to proceed with going back to school and about in tears. Mm. Part of it is that I'm overwhelmed thinking about the fact I'm going to have my kids home and will have to help them while also working full time. I feel like I want to throw a temper tantrum, kicking and screaming. I don't wanna. I always hate the end of summer and when the kids go back because everything is so much easier and carefree in the summer. But beyond that, it just made it so real how awful this is for the kids who are staying home, those mm-hmm. who will be in school social distancing and wearing masks and the teachers. Anyway, just had to vent and figure there are a lot of others out there feeling this way right now.
Yeah. Yeah. We just finished our first week of online schooling.
How'd it go?
I don't feel like throwing a tantrum today, so.
It was okay.
I had a lot of therapy this week, so that I had two different therapy sessions this week, so that helped me process. But I mean, Julie, I would say throw a tantrum, man. Like get in a safe space and lay on your bathroom floor and kick and scream until you feel better.
Yeah.
Do some anger exercises, break things directly into the garbage cans.
I'm sure there's got to be like a giant learning curve in this whole thing.
For everybody. And it's so complicated because the teachers are learning too.
Yeah.
And the technology. I know on the first day of school, one of my friends who has 4 kids, all 4 of her kids were getting kicked off like every 90 seconds.
Oh God.
Like kicked off the meetings and then they'd have to re-log in 4 times 4. And she and her husband both have full-time jobs and work from home. Like it's just, I think that, you know, the privilege and underprivileged in society, like it's just becoming so, the difference is so exaggerated, so mm-hmm. exaggerated. And for some kids, I think like my son seems to be doing really well in online schooling because it's structured and he has things to do. And, but then in between classes, he can also do his like stimming stuff that he needs to do mm-hmm. and nobody makes fun of him, mm-hmm. right? Or lay on the couch in silence and read a book for an mm-hmm. hour, which is really good for him.
Right.
But for my older one, it's really hard.
Yeah.
So, and the like starting middle school, like these big transitions, seeing them all being done virtually.
I can't believe she started middle school.
It's real
and
crazy.
This is how she's starting too. So bizarre.
It's real crazy.
Yeah.
I'm sure that we will have lots of stumbling blocks. Like my son's already gotten moved into a different group and like, so the whole schedule changed mm-hmm. today. But the teacher knew it was happening and not me. And so she was telling him and he was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Aww. She was like, you should be on the other call. And it wasn't bad, but I was just like, I don't know. Could I call someone? Like, yeah. Could I call Google Meet? No.
No.
You can't call Google Meet.
So do you not feel like you have enough support with this whole?
I feel like I have enough support. If my husband was working a traditional 40-hour week, or if I was expected to work a traditional mm-hmm. if either one of us had employers versus mm-hmm. being self-employed, I think it would be absolutely insane mm-hmm. and soul-crushing, kind of how the beginning of the pandemic was for people without support. But we have support right now, so we'll just see what happens. But I feel you, Julie. It's shit. It's so shitty. I did discover this one thing, though. We don't have to have a super organized family dinner anymore. Like,
I have heard.
Because we're together all day.
Yeah. Because all the meal, because like.
You're together all day. And so it's not as important to get FaceTime at dinner.
Right.
My kid's therapist told me that this week. He was like, why are you pushing this? I was like, because my kid needs to be able to sit at the table for dinner. She's like, he was like, maybe he can't. And I was like, damn it. But it's true. Like, we're together all day. He doesn't need FaceTime at dinner.
He gets FaceTime all day.
He might really need to be in the other room reading a book silently. Yeah.
I mean, as long as I get like the nutrients they need throughout the day.
Kind of.
It's kind enough. Of, kind of. Ish. Yeah. It's whatever.
It's a long game.
Yeah.
We don't really worry about day to day so much. A bag of tortilla chips is all he ate today. That's fine.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. It's good.
Jeff on Twitter said, lately I have been thinking about what's going on in our country, the US, how we will come out of it and how we will ever get through the pandemic of COVID-19. Your show has been very helpful though. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. I was just thinking today, I was listening to the radio while the news, while I was waiting for my groceries and scrolling through Instagram. And then I was like, more like Instagram. Did you get my joke? Patty.
I did. I heard you. Instagram.
I heard you. I just didn't laugh, Sally, because it wasn't that funny. But seriously, the world is so grim right now. So you have to intentionally get out and find some joy. Like,
yeah. Like,
you have to.
Not going to talk about politics because that doesn't interest me and I don't want to bring that on the show. But just, did you watch the RNC? Did you watch any of it?
I saw a lot of
it. I was watching it while I was eating my dinner last night.
Were you shocked? Was your mouth open the whole time?
My eyes were rolling back into my head like every minute or two. Like, I feel like I was giving myself a headache because my eyes were going so far back into my head. It sounded like a cheap, like 4 a.m. infomercial.
Oh God, it's terrible.
It was so bad.
I think it sounded like the ultra religious, like born again TV shows where they like people call in to get saved kind of thing.
Yeah. It also felt like there was a bunch of stuff that people were saying without saying it, like read between the lines kind of stuff. Right. That I was like, what are you really getting at?
It was really confusing.
It was weird.
It was really, yeah. I heard some of that on the radio today and I was just like, oh God. At least, I mean, 2 months until the election. That's not bad. We can survive 2 months of tuning out, tuning this out a little bit.
Yeah.
I think, I hope.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what's going to happen. I don't know what's going
to
happen.
Are you registered to vote?
Me?
Yes.
Yes, of course. Yes.
I'm just making sure.
Yes.
Good.
Vote.
I know.
Everyone.
Seriously. I think I'm going to take my 18-year-old neighbor whose parents are super conservative. I'm going to try and take her to register to vote.
What was it, the 19th Amendment where women got the right to vote?
I think so.
Or something like that.
You're going to make it sound dumb because we don't.
Well, I'm going to sound dumb because I just said it really confidently. And then.
That was only 10 years ago.
I don't know what year that was. It was not 10 years ago.
Yes, it is. Good job.
I did it. I did it.
1878.
1878?
No.
No.
It didn't pass. That was when it was introduced. It didn't pass until 1919.
Yeah.
Only, that's right. We just had passed the 100 years.
Yeah. But then also, like, black women didn't get to vote for, like, another, like, 40-some-odd years or something God, after America. That, which is ridiculous. But, like, I don't know. I think it's really easy to take this for granted that we can. And, yeah. Oh, did you know? I don't know the statistics, but did you know that more women in the U.S. vote than men now?
Ooh.
Isn't that weird?
I did know that white women elected Donald Trump. I did know that was like the majority of that.
That's weird. And also not weird, but
no.
Anyway. Okay. Okay, we have an anonymous.
Yeah.
Anonymous says, I vacillate between overwhelmed and numb. I'm usually hopeful, but find it hard to place any faith in hope for the future right now.
Okay, let's talk about hope.
Let's talk about hope.
Let's talk about hope, everybody. The most difficult kind of suffering, the most painful kind of suffering is suffering that we don't know how long will last, like unending. right? Like being on the tarmac and not knowing what's going on, or how long you're sitting there, where whether it's 10 minutes or 8 hours.
Right. If they would just say it's 8 hours, you're like, okay.
Right. Exactly. Having expectations.
Yeah.
Right. So hope is easier to find when you have some sort of expectations and time frame.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if the expectation is like, well, the world's on fire, if you get up every day and the world's still on fire, you're like, well, that met my expectations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you had the expectation, and I'm not saying like doomsday this, but if you have the expectation like things are going to be better tomorrow, there'll be a vaccine tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be disappointed, which sucks. But it's all about like tempering your expectations and then putting a time limit on the suffering. If you can't stand the suffering in your current situation, change something,
mm-hmm.
right? Whether that's a relationship, a hairstyle, you adopt a pet, a cat, right? Like if you can't stand the current suffering, change something. Even if it's the smallest thing, right?
What if it's something that you don't really have any control over? Or maybe you just don't feel like you have any control over that?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I'm not specifically even just talking about the pandemic, but.
Right. I think the sober living, the AA motto, right? Like, help me identify the things that I cannot control.
Mm-hmm.
Help me have power in the things I can and know the things I can't.
Mm-hmm.
And there is so much power in that. So finding the things you can control, right? Can I paint this room a different shade of color that makes me feel joy? Can I get a new video game? What did you just do? Were you thinking about the color?
I was looking at the color of your walls and how similar it is to mine.
They're gray.
Well, it's kind of a bluish.
Yeah, it's called Manhattan Mist, actually.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because we painted two full houses this color, so I know the color. They don't bring me joy anymore, but they bring me more.
It's a calm and peaceful color.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They bring me more entertainment than white. Or cream or beige, though.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like loud wallpaper.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Or who paint a mural on your wall.
Maybe. Have you chosen wallpaper for the new space?
No, I haven't chosen anything. I'm just browsing.
Mm-hmm. That's fun, too.
That's fun.
The most fun.
It is. Browsing wallpaper is really fun.
Yeah. I found I'm getting off.
That's all right.
But it brought me joy.
Yeah.
I found a shower curtain that made me think of you that I really liked.
What was it?
It was like a blue, it was very colorful, which, you know, you like color.
I do.
It was a blue teal sort of background with like pink, like tigers on it, but like big illustrated. It was interesting. I really liked it.
So is it almost identical to the pink shower curtain I have right now with big blue bananas on it?
It's similar in that they're very colorful.
Sounds I think, like they would
I
go
think
together.
Anything with like a cheetah or a tiger in it, I'm like, that looks like Sally. I don't know. I don't know why.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I'm a fucking cheetah.
Maybe.
That's why. Did you know my nickname used to be Rocket? Can
no.
you see that?
Why?
I don't know. When we moved to Texas in 2007, I told my sister I was going to start calling myself Rocket because I just changed my name to Rumsey.
Sounds like a dog.
It does, kind of. But I also felt like it really captured my like.
Like I'm aggression, going to the moon.
Like aggression or assertiveness or like bold personality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
should I call you Rocket from now on?
If you want to. I love it. Rocket okay. Rumsey. Isn't that adorable?
Oh, that's cute.
I
Again,
think it's, adorable.
It's like a little dog. Though.
It's like a dog.
Okay.
Okay. Or a cheetah.
Or a cheetah.
Yeah.
I have one more thing. One more thing. I want to end with Michael's question from Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I love this question. He says, how do you trust your feelings when your feelings change every day?
Well, I
really like that question. Great question.
Yes.
I
want to know what your answer is.
Okay. Well, here are my thoughts.
Yeah.
My initial thought is, well, you are not your feelings.
Right.
But feelings are information. Feelings are data. And listening to how you feel can help you determine what you want or what you need, whether it's, like you said, a change of scenery, mm-hmm. a dissolution of a relationship, a new job, better pay, a dog to keep you company, a vacation, or something as simple as a glass of water.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, like, it could be a really simple thing.
Mm-hmm.
You get up and walk around outside for 5 minutes. So mm-hmm. It's not I am sad. It's more I feel sad.
Mm-hmm.
And pay attention to it because you can learn something from it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, those are my thoughts.
I love them. Those are excellent. It makes me think of like feelings are your map.
Yeah.
If you are comfortable enough in yourself, maybe you can follow your feelings and they will guide you like a map,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to say, like, unless you're like me, and then I am my feelings, because mm-hmm. I'm a number 4 on the Enneagram, which is the person who just like feels at, like your feelings are everything. Like they just guide everything I take, mm-hmm. every step I take in my life. Which is why it's very hard to like go against my feelings, because they're so like I crave like a specific food for every meal. And then if we don't have that food in the house, then I'm like, well, shit, nothing will satisfy this. I will never be satisfied. Yeah. Isn't that funny?
I often eat things I'm not really in the mood for because I hate wasting.
I can't do it. I can't. It makes me so sad.
Mm. Yeah. It doesn't like bring me a whole lot of joy.
Well, then why would you eat at all is my question.
I mean, I love eating. Well, because it's fuel for my body my brain.
Yes. Thank goodness you eat.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. What else are we talking
about? I used to not eat.
I know that.
So now I eat.
Yes, I know that.
We could talk about that on another episode.
I'm sure we will. I can't wait to talk. Maybe we'll have a guest host.
Yeah.
Who's good at feeding people who don't eat.
Ooh, like a cook?
I was thinking like
they should come cook for us.
I was thinking like an eating disorder therapist.
Oh.
But, or a cook. Should we have a cook?
Both.
We could have our first video session.
In the kitchen.
Episode while we're, and we could just have microphones on our mouth while we're eating.
I'm sure the people would love that.
Kevin.
Especially would. Dwight.
Kevin.
As he's editing that episode.
Did he get some really sticky? Okay. No. I just want to say about feelings.
Yeah.
Of course they change. Thank goodness they change.
Oh, thank God.
How boring would it be to be stuck in the same feeling all the time?
How torturous.
So boring. And also they change as soon as you acknowledge them. So that's another good thing to remember. If they're changing, that's good. That means probably you're moving through them and not being stuck in them.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right. Good.
I don't like being stuck.
It's almost like a poem. How can you trust your feelings if they change every day?
I love it.
I do too. Maybe I'll make some wallpaper out of it.
So like our answer collectively to Michael, who is so curious about how to trust his own feelings.
Yes.
Is trust that they are leading you and guiding you.
So this
But they are not they are not everything, but they can tell you.
They are
not
everything, but they are very important.
Mm-hmm. They're like little clues.
And it's very important to sort through which ones are based in fear and which ones are based in what you want,
mm-hmm.
right? Or what you need.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a practice of sorting through. Am I making this decision because I'm afraid?
Yeah.
Or am I, do you have to pee?
No, I hate that.
Oh,
I don't, it's never a good thing to make a decision.
Based in, you know, it can be if it's saving your life or you're like actually in danger.
Yeah. But most of the time you're not.
Right. You're not. Most of the time you're not.
And it's such a more positive place to make decisions on your next
mm-hmm.
step based on this is what I want
mm-hmm.
as opposed to this is. I'm going to go this way because I don't want to go that way.
Right.
No, it's I want to go this way because this is the place I want to go.
Right. Because it feels good.
Feels good. Way.
Oh, are you going to start singing for us?
No.
Oh, damn. Oh, there's – okay. I had a question.
Mm-hmm.
What sounds like a sneeze and is made of leather?
I do not know.
A shoe.
Oh, okay. Okay. It took me a second.
Did you get it?
I got it.
Okay.
Bless you.
Oh, shit. What did the grape say when it was crushed?
I don't know.
Nothing. It just let out a little wine. Sorry. Wait, this one is so good.
I miss wine.
Okay, there's the last one. Ready?
I just want a little sip.
The wine. Poor thing. You can have a little sip. Okay, I wrote a song about a tortilla. Actually, it's more of a rap.
Oh, God.
I just think it's so funny.
It's good. It's good. I like it. I like it. Were these all, these are all originals?
No. None of those are originals. Okay. None of those are originals. Did I tell you my joint one? I did. I already told you the last one I made up. The what did the cigarette say to the blunt? No, to the joint. Damn. He said, man, you have no filter.
Yes, you he told me that. I don't think you said it on the podcast, though.
Well, I did just you? Did. I think I did, but if not, there you go.
If not, there you go. And we're going to leave it there.
If you'd like to record a question or a comment for a future episode of The Feelings Club, give us a ring on the banana phone at 725-FEELING. That's 725-333-5464. Or you can use the Voice Memo app on your phone to record your question and email it to us at thefeelingsclubpodcast@gmail.com. Sally and I appreciate everyone who helps to spread the word about the show. We rely heavily on your word of mouth and reviews, tweets, and people posting about the show on Instagram. Visit our website, thefeelings.club. Sign up for our newsletter and check out Sally's blog. Follow us on Instagram at Feelings Club Podcast and Twitter at Feelings Club Pod. The Feelings Club Podcast is produced every week by Dwight Baker and me and my co-host, Sally Rumsey. Thank you for listening.
All content is for entertainment purposes only and should not be used as a replacement for therapy or medical advice by a licensed doctor. This is not your therapy, y'all.
The Feelings Club. Invite all your friends to the Feelings Club. Come be a part.